This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm, and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be happy. Whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, let all beings be happy. One man deceive another, or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another, even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child. So with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, free of hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness. One should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding, by not holding to fixed views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being freed from all sense desires, is not born again into this world.
Okay, great. Well, okay, we meditate together today, and the people who are here for a long time meditate all for their own reasons. The people new here have their own reasons to come. And what we try to achieve in the meditation is to slow down our thought process. And the important thing is the way we try to slow it down. We don't want another general in the background giving commands. So part of the process is that you give these instructions kindly, and you watch when the mind doesn't stop thinking. Actually, that's all right. We keep our kindness up in the meditation. That is the important thing. It's not the result of having complete stillness. Complete stillness is possible when the mind is so interested in that what is going on in the present moment that it doesn't need to chat about it. So if any of you remember, basically, if you ever had good sex, the mind was quiet. And if the mind, it doesn't even shut up when you have good sex, then actually that's a problem. There's too much talking. It's basically, if the mind is captivated by something, if it's interested, then its thoughts are just in the way. And so the path to good meditation is always this inner happiness in the mind. So instead of giving commands of our be still and stay in the present moment and shut up, we try to cultivate that gladness, just sitting here and not having to do anything. No? Instead of having to meditate and having I shouldn't think and I shouldn't move and I shouldn't do this and shouldn't do that. It's basically this appreciation of the existing possibility that there can be that half an hour where the mind doesn't need to contemplate anything, doesn't figure out what is going to happen even a minute from now on, and it doesn't have to figure out what we did in the past or what happened in the past. And if we are skillful, then there can come a feeling of joy immediately with that, sense of relief, sense of not being burdened by having to do something. And if we manage that, then we can stay with that little bit of joy. And if that joy becomes strong enough, then it's the gateway to the meditation is actually a strong feeling. Call that pity in Pali, which is almost, yeah, they call it joy, but it's going towards euphoria. The sense of relief. If you remember having pain, any of you having strong pain, physical pain. I remember when I burned my face and I was just in agony, and then they put this cold cloth on my face and gave me a shot of morphine or whatever it was, actually. But I wasn't drugged in the sense of that the drug made me high. It was this sense of relief, of that pain relief in that moment, just brought tears to my eyes. Just is the beauty of modern medicine, actually, taking this incredible pain away just like that. And it's a little bit like that. It's this if the mind goes in the right direction, this constant thinking process is a pain in itself. This constant evaluating, constant judging of the mind, oneself and other people or situations. Most of the people don't know anything else. So I hope you all have that experience, where we realize we don't have to do that all the time. Actually, we can function a lot better and with a lot more energy and positivity if we have that ability to slow the mind down and find joy in that. So it's not a trance, well, it's basically not a state of trance meditation. It's a state of heightened awareness. We're getting aware of what is going on in the body, what is going on in the mind. And that in the beginning can sometimes be a little bit uncomfortable, because becoming aware of how much is going on is exhausting. Sometimes even a bit scary. But only with that awareness the mind has the possibility to see, oh, this is suffering. This is something that I don't need to do the whole time. And in that process of letting it go again with a lot of kindness and understanding, without pushing, there hopefully comes a little bit of joy. You stay with your little bit of joy. And then maybe the meditation gets even deeper and it becomes still. But it can only get really nice and still and deep, the meditation, if there's a lot of joy in the mind. That means a very, very euphoric feeling, actually. So without that, we can stop the mind sometimes with force, but it's not going to lead to peace, and it's not going to lead you to more happiness. You're just learn to increase that willpower and that ego a lot. And that is not the aim in Buddhism. The aim is to let go and let things drop away. It's not achieving something. It's basically a burden that we are not aware of right now is falling away. That is meditation, and that is where the lightness comes from and where the joy can come from. Something drops off your shoulders and it's just like, wow, you were not aware that you were carrying that around with you. So I hope you get into something that reminds you at least, or maybe even for the first time you will find out that thought is a burden, is a great burden. The Buddha in the beginning, he just put swords on both sides, unwholesome swords and wholesome swords, and he did that for a long, long time, just separating them. Everything that leads to more suffering, to more anger, to more ill will on one side, everything that is wholesome, sorts of loving kindness, sorts of a generosity, sorts of goodwill, all these sorts coming up, he put on the other side. So he separated just the whole time, like a scientist, just separating. And then he said, I could stay with these wholesome thoughts for a long, long, long time. And that was beautiful. But even the beautiful thoughts, I realized, were still a huge burden. So then even the beautiful thoughts dropped. And that's when he got in the really nice meditations, actually, where you can watch very, very deeply what is going on levels that have to be experienced, that is not something that is realized by thought. It's an experience. This deep meditation is nothing to not no contemplation or anything. This is very, very calm feeling states. So if you find your mind is too active, you can do the same thing. If you have unwholesome thoughts coming up, identify it. Or is this thought leading to my happiness? Is this thought leading to other people's happiness? No, this is just leading to more agitation, to more trouble for myself and others. You put it on that side, kindly, actually. If you have a nice thought coming up, you can put it on the other side. This thought is not causing me trouble, it's not causing other people trouble. Put it on the other side. So you can play with that in your meditation if you want to, if your mind is just too active. And the rest I'm just gonna explain while we're doing the meditation. I hope you have a general idea. Please don't use force. Develop a little bit of kindness. We try to do that together in the beginning. And through interest of the mind, deep meditation happens. Interest, energy coming up. Energy is almost synonymous with happiness. So basically joy comes up, and that's when meditation happens. Deep meditation happens. But hopefully at least you can relax a little bit and find that joy in when the mind calms down a little bit. So if there are no questions right now, no? Okay, then we start with the meditation. So, please, in any position you are, on the ground or on a stool, make yourself as comfortable as you can. But don't let your back be too far away from your backrest, that you're too slack, because if we sit for half an hour, you will find that it's going to be uncomfortable after a while. But also, you don't have to be rigid and super upright. Just that if you used to sit on a chair, just imagine a position where you think you can sit for half an hour and you're as comfortable in that position as you can. There's no no trouble if you have to move during the meditation. it's just very nice to know that if I keep sitting in that position, I know I'm not gonna harm this body. There's no trouble. It might get sometimes a little bit uncomfortable, but I know in that position my body will be all right. I can get up afterwards and there's no damage. So your feet has to be a certain distance from your chair, or I'm just talking to the people sitting on chairs now, because most of us are the other people that know what they're doing. Obviously, the chair people, many of you know what you're doing as well. But for the newcomers, please just wriggle your toes a little bit. See that you have a nice distance, that it feels very stable, that you have the feeling you could almost fall asleep in that position and you would not fall off this chair. So now your hands, how close do you have your hands, maybe folded or on your legs, however you want, but they have to have a certain distance that you can relax your shoulders. So the way we test that actually is we take a deep in-breath and pump ourselves up a little bit, let the shoulders lift up, and then we breathe out and let your shoulders hang. And then feel if your hands are in a nice position actually, that your shoulders can hang down very comfortably. Very important to get the body as right as we can in the beginning, because then we don't have to pay so much attention to the body later on. We know the body is all right. So you can take a few in and out breaths, do deep ones, see if your belly can come out when you breathe in. If you're too restricted, you're allowed here to open your trouser, not all the way down, please, but you can open the button of your trousers. Very important that you can breathe freely, because we're gonna work a little bit with the breath. And if you breathe in a little bit deeper and you breathe out, you also get the position of your back right already. If you slope too much forwards, the breath is going to be restricted. If you're too much backwards, you breathe too much into your lungs and your upper body is going to, as you have the feeling your upper body is inflating the whole time. Have a look at your shoulders. Are they nice and relaxed? Because we don't want any heaviness on our shoulders. For this half an hour, we drop every burden that we have. We drop it right off. And if you can breathe nicely, then your head is going to come into the right position as well already, together with relaxing your shoulders. Your head is going to have a certain position to keep the balance. Make sure it is a position where it can rest. You don't hold anything stiff in your neck. Relaxing the shoulders and the neck. if you have the feeling you can't relax properly. Tensen up your shoulders. Make them really, 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 really tight with an in-breath, and then on the out-breath you let go. And then sometimes during the meditation there's still a little bit of tension and they still drop a little bit. It's amazing. Check your face, and if you can and are willing to play along, give it a little smile for your meditation, for your mind, for the people here. Just we want the best for that half an hour for everybody here. May that be a joyful experience for everybody. That give a lot of relaxation for everybody, that the body can rest and the mind can rest a bit. Energy can be recreated. So for whatever happens in this meditation, we try to have some goodwill towards it. If it's not completely pleasant, this is how the body is, we still have some goodwill towards it. If we lose our goodwill, we remind ourselves this is okay. We cannot force goodwill. We have a goodwill to be not good-willing. It's just this kindness and acceptance. If we don't push, and we might get there. And mind just enjoys itself enough. A little bit of joy comes more relaxation, comes more calmness, becomes more interesting. The mind doesn't wanna waver into the past or the future, just wants to stay with exactly what is happening here, right now. First of all, what is happening with the body? Feeling the breath in the body. Hearing the sound of the air conditioner. Hearing the sound of my voice. Don't try to hold the mind anywhere in particular. We just know that the breath is always going on when we sleep, when we get unconscious. It doesn't need us. So it's always there for us. the mind doesn't know where to go and likes to rest somewhere, it can go back to the breath. Gets interested in something else, that's all right. But rest is just your little refuge, your little anchor in the background. If you like to go back there, you can always go back there. Then without us doing anything, sensations are going to come up. Some neutral, some pleasant, some unpleasant. But somebody is watching the whole time. And that watcher, hopefully, is a very kind being, very kind watcher. Nothing to do, nothing to achieve. If you get so relaxed that you fall asleep, well done. Can you find some joy in this thought that for this short meditation there's nothing there that you have to do, nothing there that's supposed to happen or not happen. There is no suppose here. Mind is allowed to go wherever it wants to. You have a little bit of calmness, you see, so burdensome figuring something out, what is going to happen, or figuring something out that has happened already. It's just this split second of the here and now, this constant moving through time. Anything just happening without us interfering. everyone ring the bell 3 times. And after the 3rd ring, please open your eyes and we end the meditation for tonight. So, was it as nice for you as it was for me?
Better.
Better. Excellent. It's so important to make meditation something enjoyable, because who needs another burden in their life? Just something else to that you have to do. Have to have my meditation in the morning or in the evening or whatnot. And if it becomes something like that, it's at least to me, it's not very attractive. There's still a lot of that going around. People read books about meditation and from different teachers, and my teacher said you should do that and you should focus and you should, and it's sort of, yeah, that might be all some sort of meditation, but it's not Buddhist meditation. The Buddhist meditation, the Buddha realized what the cause of suffering is.
Attachment,
okay. Craving, wanting. So how can the meditation, the way out of suffering, be another wanting? Just wanting some more. So it's if you look in your mind that you realize actually it's just like if there's somebody there and just controlling, wanting, it's a complete opposite of the Buddha's teaching the whole time. And it's a complete opposite of peace. This empty promise again. I just be tough enough, I just practice hard enough, I just meditate often enough, and then I'm gonna get the results, and then I'm gonna get this and that, actually, and I'm gonna be happy ever after. So, why just swallow another empty promise, actually, become a Buddhist? If that's all Buddhism has to offer, please, if you're Christian, stay Christian, actually. It's a lot better. Jesus loves you at least, actually. Buddhism, if you start with stuff, actually, that you have to be virtuous, and now you have to meditate, and you have to, I shouldn't desire anymore, I shouldn't crave anymore. It's all bad. That just becomes the new evil. And then people swap one religion for another religion. I found it so often now, actually. It's just like, yeah, you call yourself a Buddhist, but in my opinion, you basically pick up the worst of Christianity, actually, and carry it around with you. if this is another this idle hands are devils, do the devil's work and stuff like that, huh? The good Protestant teachings, actually, huh? The good old fashioned stuff, huh? This not doing is almost evil, huh? There's almost something malevolent in this passiveness, isn't there? So what I personally find interesting is I don't have to listen to anybody. If you have a little bit of calmness and you look in your own mind, you see, more agitation in that direction, more suffering in that direction. And that suffering, is that good for me? No. And is maybe I have to go through that suffering that something positive is going to happen in the future. Yeah, maybe. Today I suffered actually, we're cutting down this, what is it, Brazilian pepper tree. I've never been, and then there's a big ant nest was there actually. I've never been scratched and bitten so much in my life like this morning. It was pure suffering, suffering. And then for the sake of getting rid of that thing, because we have to, by the council or whatnot, I endured that suffering. But I could see the beautiful consequences afterwards that tree wasn't there anymore, actually, and we did what we had to do. Huh? That sort of suffering, yeah, I can agree to. Sometimes we have to suffer a little bit to achieve something. But to suffer in your meditation and start to associate your meditation with suffering, for me, that's the worst thing that can happen. And it just because it happened to me, I try to warn people about it. Because the first time I came in contact with meditation was in a monastery in Thailand, and there were some strange teachings around. Actually, no, so that I didn't know that I had my meniscus. It was torn. My meniscus was torn already. So sitting on the ground, there were no pillows, and it was this hard concrete floor. And I wasn't great at sitting on the ground in the first place, actually. And then with my torn meniscus, it's just after minutes I was in agony already, actually. Yeah, it's just, but it wasn't sitting. You had to sit, basically. You know? Nobody could really do anything if you have to get up, but you try to fit in, and I was young, and you have your pride and whatnot, so you keep sitting with that pain. And it's, for a long time I associated meditation with pain and willpower. It didn't get me anywhere. The only way it got me is basically that I didn't want to meditate anymore. So if meditation becomes just another stress factor in your life, sorry, I can't see the benefit. And I don't think you're going to become enlightened because of it. It's letting go. It's basically shit falling off your shoulders. It's realizing I'm carrying things around, this craving, this dukkha, this mind wanting something constantly. Wanting to sing, wanting to smell, wanting to see something nice, wanting to hear something beautiful. It's just painful. If you find something closer in your meditation where it's this without having to do anything, there's joy already. That is a completely different taste of safety. It's not that safety of if I just have that, then I'm going to be happy. It's the safety of, wow, it's there already, and it has that, Ajahn Chah calls it a taste of freedom, actually. Yeah? And that's exactly what it is, a taste. It's no speculation, and it's not something in the future. It should be something there in your meditation from the very beginning. Remind yourself to make it something beautiful. If you have pain in your body, find a position where you build yourself a chair or whatever, where you lie completely comfortable, or meditate lying down or whatever. if the body is in pain already, it's almost impossible to let go. Take care of that. It's not about, I'm meditating and now I can control the pain. No, it's usually if we're more aware of the body, there's going to be more pain. So if you have chronic pain, the only thing meditation can help you with is the added pain of the mental constructs of the I shouldn't, why does it happen to me, or what is going to happen if that and that happens, and if I have to go to the doctor again and I have to go to the hospital, and what about my children, and blah 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 blah. And that stuff, actually, if you meditation can help you to get a little bit more awareness of this is suffering that I cannot do anything about. If the body is breaking down, I might die on the way back to the monastery tonight.
Actually,
You know my driver. No, he drives very good. I'm joking, Michi. I'm very careful. But still, stuff happens, huh? So there are so many things out of our hands, and the mind realizes this speculation is just causing me more trouble. It's causing me more trouble. It's causing, when I'm agitated, I'm causing other people more trouble. The more unhappy I am, the shittier I'm going to treat you. That's for sure. That's what I know. And I don't need the Bible for that, and I don't need the Buddha's teaching for that anymore. That's things you can watch in your own mind. If you're the more miserable you are, the more misery you spread around in the world, actually. So if you make your mind happy, this is the best thing you can do for the world as well. If you have very little desire, because there's a lot of inner happiness already, if you have a lot of inner happiness already in your mind, then exactly this craving the Buddha is talking about is going to be weakened. It's not that I shouldn't crave anymore. It's basically lifting the mind up, having a more joyful mind, a more happy mind. And the happy mind doesn't look outside so much for happiness. It's the miserable guys who have to buy the new Ferrari and the, I don't know what, actually, they have to buy all the time. Oh, here, the what is the American thing, this suffering shopping or whatnot. Huh? They have a miserable experience, they go shopping. Huh? That's the only, and that is exactly the correlation between craving and suffering. Huh? Only then, because you can still fulfill your craving, it has a little bit of the taste of happiness. Yes.
Retail therapy.
Retail therapy. So, but hopefully in the meditation, if you practice this right, you get a little bit of a taste that there's something inside of you already. There's something there already that is that has a possibility of that contentment. And there's a beautiful safety in it, yes?
I need to understand this. By letting go, does it not seem to be irresponsible in our everyday life with so much responsibility we have to take on?
Well, that's why I try to give the example of that tree that I cut today. Yeah? It would have been irresponsible, in my opinion, to say, oh no, this is too much suffering for me, I go and somebody else can do it. That's just not my character. But if you, obviously, there, if you have a family and you have to look after your family. Huh? But if you can't sleep at night because you think about how you... what do you have to do for your children, how to get more money in, how to please your wife, how to, I don't know what goes in your head at night and you can't sleep or whatnot. You know? This is where you can, if you have that awareness, the mind kicks in and says, oh, this thought, actually, there's nothing constructive about it. There's no action that I'm taking now in the future to make anything better. This is just blah, 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 negativity, negative, worry, 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 worry. And if the mind sees it, this is just suffering. In the moment the mind sees this is just suffering, it drops. That is when letting go happens. You don't let go. The mind sees that it's suffering and it drops. And that is the beautiful thing. It doesn't have to be somebody in the background to tell you, basically, oh, you should let go. The mind clearly sees this train of, that's what the Buddha said, did under the tree. It's just this wholesome thoughts on the one side didn't lead to agitation, didn't lead to frustration, didn't exhaust him that much. All the thoughts that he dropped on the other side, all the thoughts of ill will, and the Buddha had all that stuff beforehand. Ill will, negativity, cravings coming up, controlling, whatever. He put that all on the other side, and with every thought that came up, he contemplated, actually, is that a valuable thought? Is that leading to more happiness, myself and other people, or not? And if you do that, you see there are a lot of thoughts you can just drop and drop and drop. And then, or basically, you don't drop them, they drop by themselves because the mind sees it suffering. Same as the mind believes now, it's you have to be responsible and you have to control and you have to think everything through. Otherwise, you, your family, and I don't know, is going to suffer more. That is what the mind believes now. But in reality is that we don't have to think so much. Things still happen without us controlling everything the whole time. And if the mind sees clearly what train of thought is really leading to some positive action in the future, and what train of thought is just causing suffering for yourself and other people, it's just they're going to drop. So it's not about irresponsibility or passiveness. Is this discernment? It's the mind that can discern there in that direction is more suffering, in that direction is more happiness. And it discerns by experience and not by belief. You see, look very clearly after your meditation, just do it 5 minutes to have more awareness of what is going on. Half an hour can be a long time, the mind is going all over the place already. Say, 5 minutes, I have a look what is going on. And then you see a mind, a thought of ill will coming up. And you see exactly, you look exactly in which direction that thought is going. Think in that direction, feel how it feels in the body in that direction. And you just gets more agitated. It's negative. Your mouse is going to go into a different position, actually. It's going to go down. So we have this awareness through the body as well, actually, that teaches us what the different directions are. It's about more building up more awareness, not just passivity, passiveness. Yes, it's for me very interesting, and because people are in contact with Ajahn Brahm for so long, and I teach in that direction for a long time, and there's still so many people who force themselves in the meditation and they just have a hard time in the meditation, and they think they have to do that, otherwise no pain, no gain. This is so deeply ingrained that blueprint or whatnot in our mind. It's just very In the Western culture, it seems to be very, very strong. Just as if that's if you enjoy something, that's basically then not work. And if it's not work, then it's not leading towards the goal. So the most beautiful thing I found in Buddhism from the start was this. The teaching is beautiful in the beginning, beautiful in the middle, and beautiful in the end. And it took me a long time to understand that. Why is that beautiful in the beginning? Keeping 5 precepts, keeping five precepts is just that general not general but minimum amount of beauty you need for your mind. Only people who enjoy killing, who enjoy stealing, who enjoy whoring around and hurting other people by doing so, who enjoy lying and deceiving and love to get blasted actually to totally out of their mind actually and don't have any awareness left in their mind. People who really enjoy that, they actually gonna suffer in Buddhism. If you enjoy that, you're gonna suffer going in the other direction, but you're still gonna suffer less as if going in that direction and not stopping. So, but we're all not perfect, but most of us don't want to kill anybody. Don't want to be deceived. We want to be together with honest people and want to feel safe with people. So that we also definitely create our surrounding by our own mind state. So by avoiding these things, we create over a lifetime being around with people actually who are trustworthy actually, who don't take advantage of us, so that the surrounding becomes more harmonious, less stressful. So there's a possibility for less craving coming up, because if you have a nice family life, if you have good friends, if you have that all that surrounding as harmonious as possible with a wholesome mind, you don't need that much outside anymore. This is often the rich Westerners, they say, oh, this poor people in this poor country there actually. But if they have a roof over their heads, if they have clothing, if they have enough to eat, and maybe if they're lucky, a little bit of medical assistance when they're sick, they can be so much happier than the Westerners here. I mean, 50% of the population or whatnot in America is on some kind of antidepressant. 50%! That's half of the people. They're so unhappy actually in their absolute in a sort of living standard that was unimaginable 100 years ago or whatnot, even 50 years ago. So this incredible prosperous surrounding with this incredible safety nets often. America is not that great, I have to admit, actually, but Australia is very high as well, actually, the people on antidepressants. With this incredible amount of safety you have in Australia with your Medicare and whatnot, really good care when you're sick, and all the food you want to eat actually, and it's never really cold or too hot if you have your air conditioning and whatnot, you know, and you drive around in your cars incredibly comfortable and whatnot, you know, everything unimaginable. And why are we so bloody unhappy still? How is that possible? Ask yourself. So it's not this surroundings, it's not this outside thing that is there's something wrong, it's basically this something is lacking, there's something is lost. Often it's maybe family unity, or it's something to believe in, or having too much time. I think people in the old days, they had to work so hard, they didn't have that much time to be unhappy. Which is really true. If you work the whole day, actually, and in the evening, you just fall into bed, actually, if you work hard, and there's no time for any other stuff. So, we have the time, and we use the time to think more stupid thoughts, not to organize our life that it gets more happy. As most of these thoughts are to bring people down. It's not the outside circumstances of people unhappy. It's the mind is unhappy. There's no no pain necessarily in the body. There is no hunger. There is no the really tough stuff where you just really suffer and it's hard to get out of. I tell you, today I was getting angry. I couldn't avoid it. Just being these pepper trees, they have these incredibly sharp branches, and just one branch, and you cut the branch, but it never falls. It just hangs in these other branches and picks you in a different way, actually. And you try to crawl through that thing and get the branches over. And at the same time, these ants were biting me, and the horse flies were out again as well. And it was just like... And so with so much physical pain, it's very difficult to keep a wholesome mind state. Super, super, super difficult. But obviously I wasn't screaming around or whatnot, but I just saw my mind being very unhappy, actually, and miserable. And I was happy when it was over. So, but this sort of suffering is for most of the people is not the cause. It's not because they're in so much physical pain. It's mental pain. Mental pain they're in. And so... hopefully you can use the meditation as something to relieve that, you know, not to put more pain into your mind, to put another burden on your shoulder. Just having that as a time to treat yourself kindly, to watch your inner monologue, and I see that you speak softly to yourself. I say, that is all right, my dear. I call myself my dear, for example, in my meditation. I only call myself my dear. So whatever you want to call yourself, just be kind. Just whatever is going on in the mind, we're not in control. Stuff is just coming and going. If we add to that constantly with being even harsher and more negative, we just perpetuate this suffering over and over and longer and longer. So there's that possibility in each meditation, each time you have that awareness during the day. Look, is that suffering that I have to suffer now? Are these thoughts, are they helping? Or am I torturing myself? It's not good if I torture myself. It's not helping anybody. If I get more miserable, I'm going to spread the misery. Please make your minds happy, and it's a worthwhile thing to make your minds happy. You're going to make your families more happy if you're happy. You're going to make your surroundings more happy. You're going to be less needy if you're happy. So they're all very worthwhile causes. It's not that that's passive and worthless and lazy and I don't know what people sometimes call it, because they just have this incredibly strongly implanted thing that you have to run around and change the world. Actually, this is people running around and changing things the whole time. I think that's the reason we're getting more and more into trouble. Just depleting the resources and whatnot. It's just people want so much. They think they get it on the outside, but they don't. Because this generation is even unhappier than the war generation. I'm coming from Germany. You know what was going on after World War II, actually, around the world. That was just like that generation, they really knew a different kind of suffering. It's just cold and hunger and being Germany being hated by everybody, basically, as well. Known population and getting the results, the karmic awareness of what was done there, actually, in that country. Just this amount of suffering that was caused. 60 million people died, 5 million Jews were killed, actually, in the concentration camps or whatnot. Everybody looking away. And then after the war, it took the first few years, people were still hungry, they were still cold. The harvest that had to be brought in, actually, before they could even feed the population again. My granddad was 5 years as a Russian prisoner of war. 60% of the people died in these prison camps, actually, because they were not keen on feeding the Germans when their own population had nothing to eat. Actually, yeah. So basically, they let them die, most of them. My granddad wasn't an unhappy person. Wasn't a miserable person. He didn't have depression. How is that possible? It's amazing, isn't it? So the mind is—it's not this outside stuff that is happening. We have to see what are the causes in my mind. What's making me unhappy? And stopping seeing that is the direction. You get more unhappy, mind. No, my dear, you don't have to go there. You can call yourself my dear in your meditation. No, my dear, you see this just suffering in that direction. And then the mind looks, and if it sees, oh yeah, suffering, and it's going to drop, and it's not going to go there. It might go 5 minutes later, because it's used to go in that direction. You look again, look very clearly. It's just suffering in that direction. No, my dear, you don't have to go there. If you go in that direction, you know it already. It's just going to... If you go in the direction of what is going to happen in the future, is suffering already. We don't know. What we have is the same as in the meditation. We only have this moment. Each and every day, we only have this moment. But how often are we aware of what is going on in the moment? The mind is always somewhere. Somewhere in the future, somewhere in the past.
Isn't it natural to want to prepare yourself for the future so that you don't come across difficulty?
Like I said, that we are not animals. We have that opportunity that we can anticipate actions. I'm talking to Italian here. that we can anticipate actions in the future. But if you think clearly and you look, what of your thoughts really are really in that direction that you I don't know, I have to go there and there to go shopping, that I have something to eat. Obviously a valid thought. So you do that. But these are not the thoughts that are causing people suffering. It's all these thoughts where you of uncertainty. I don't know. It's people with their children or whatever. Oh, are my children going to be all right? Is my son going to go to prison? Is going to happen this or that? Blah, 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 blah. That doesn't help anybody. It's not going to... It just makes you, for example, in that example, you're going to be anxious everything your son is going to do. And then the next thing is you're going to become more agitated. You become negative towards your son or whatnot. Is there not thoughts that solve anything? My son is a drug addict, basically. I take him by the hand now. I'm offering him rehabilitation somewhere. Huh? That is a constructive thought that can be tried. If he accepts it, nice. If he doesn't accept it, nice. It's his life. Actually, it's nothing I can do. That is constructive thoughts, but this is not how suffering works in the mind. Suffering is basically of depressed people. Oh, why should I get up? Oh, nothing to do anyway. Oh, I don't want to get up. Oh, nobody likes me anyway. Why should I brush my teeth? Oh, they fall out anyway. And it's this blah 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 blah, and this is just it seems real. It's this negative monologue which is real, very real for the mind. If the mind realizes this is suffering, what you're doing right now is just suffering. You don't have to do that. Get up, brush your teeth. Have some nice brekkie, have a cup of tea or whatnot. It's just say, lying there and thinking this kind of thought, an awake mind sees this is suffering. If the mind gets up and is worrying already about, I don't know, your job or whatever it is, You see, it's just suffering. It's nothing constructive there. It's not that I'm looking for a new job or I'm trying to change anything in jobs. I'm just babbling about actually how what might happen in the future sometimes. That is the suffering. And that is not constructive. Sure, we anticipate. I had to anticipate that I got a car lift to go to the Armadale group tonight. Actually, otherwise I wouldn't be here. So I had to, but actually I didn't plan. Santuti came and told me because I completely forgot. So actually 20 passed, actually came and said, "Oh, you're Armadale group today." Went, "Oh yeah, that's right." Oh dear, Armadale group. But then I overcame my negativity and now I'm here actually. So I could have gone on. Oh, I don't want to sit there and teach. I don't have anything to say. Oh, I don't want to prepare, and I'm not prepared. People don't like me anyway. What is that good for, actually? I don't care if you like me or not, actually. I don't give a damn. I mean, that's the beauty of my life, you know. If you don't like me, I don't have to come back. Hooray! That's a positive if people don't like me in my life. So yeah, please be aware of what you're thinking. You can save yourself so much suffering. Yeah? Just not, don't try to suppress it. Have a close look if what you're thinking there is the truth. Or is somebody just babbling in your head and causing you more suffering. So I hope your meditation can get you more and more in that direction, that you get that awareness. You get that awareness, the mind is going in a direction of suffering. The mind is going in the direction of happiness. Happy thoughts, suffering thoughts. Both are heavy. Happy thoughts are a lot less heavy. No thoughts in your meditation at a certain point when there's real calmness, this feeling of not having to do. Total different joy. Total different safety. It's not that safety of the fulfilled craving. It's that safety of whatever happens, I'm going to be fine. Because there's enough happiness there already. So that is what Buddhist meditation is for, to develop the mind in a direction where it becomes more and more independent of that outside world. But not by cutting the outside world off, by just making the own mind happier and happier. Yeah? So that direction is good for yourself and it's good for other people. Yeah? The happier you are, I guarantee you, you make your family or whoever is around you also happy. So it's always a very worthwhile aim. Any questions or comments? Yeah?
You say happy a lot. Is it so important that you have to be happy with that contentment? Is that not, you know, good enough? Why chase happiness all the time? It seems to be a very elusive thing. I think, you know, if you ask some people in this audience how many people are happy a lot of the time, I wonder whether they would say, perhaps not so happy as, but I'm content with my lot.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm very good that you mentioned that, actually. Speech is only a very limited medium to convey something. When I say happy, it's not like, let's go to the disco and whatnot, basically. No? Happy, peppy, and oh, come on, don't be so negative, we're all so... That's exhausting, basically. No, that's not happy.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That bye bye. What I mean with happy is very close to contentment. But often, if you say contentment, but what people understand under contentment, and for example, they come to the monastery. They look, stand on that veranda, look into nature. Oh, it's so beautiful here, isn't it? Yeah, beautiful. You can be so content. Yes. All right, let's go. This is also not contentment. You know? Yeah, that's also this fake thing, you know? Having to be happy or whatnot is fake, and basically this sort of, oh yeah, content, I'm so content. But you're just afraid to look, and maybe you're not that content, or maybe you are miserable. So if you're content, you're content. And you don't have to you don't need to prove that to anybody, and you don't need anybody to say you're content. Actually, you're all right. It has a feel to it, you know. And I call that, for me, is very close to the happiness I'm talking about. Definitely, yeah? Not the happy peppy. While the happiness in the meditation can blow you away, that is more. More than that contentment, there comes another contentment in the meditation, actually, which has a different feel to it. But the real happiness in the meditation has a very different feel to the contentment, normal contentment in the world. That is real bliss coming up in the meditation. Huh? That is strong happiness, real happiness, but not the ha-ha-ha happiness. It's the happiness where the tears just run down out of your eyes and you just bliss out, basically. And you just, and it's not because you have achieved something. It's exactly like I said, it's stuff falling from your shoulder. And you were not aware that you were carrying that around with you the whole time.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, you will. You can live.
Run around looking for happiness all the time.
I know.
And
that's just craving again. You know, that's just another form of craving. Mm-hmm. No, thanks for mentioning that. Happiness, contentment, maybe synonymous with each other. Actually, yeah.
But that bliss sounds pretty good.
it is very good.
Okay.
All right. Thank you all.
On behalf of the group, Arjun, thank you very much for your time tonight. Thank you. If anybody needs a tree taken down, can we give you a tree?
No Brazilian pepper trees. Definitely not.